present from Manchester, England. This is the main event.
Yes, hello and welcome to the main event boxing show on Monday, 13th of June 2011. This is Manchester's All FM 96.9. In the studio today, myself and Bobby Remote are joined by Chris Maylott of British Boxers. And on the phone, we're joined with Jim McDonald. It's a busy show today. We've also got five games of Fight Night to give away for the Xbox 360. And we've also got two tickets to give away to Spencer Fearon's Hard Knocks Night of Boxing this Saturday night. To get in contact, it's the usual info@maineventboxingshow.co.uk. Or you can join us on the Facebook, facebook.com/main event boxing show. Right, lads, we're going to jump straight into it because we've got a busy show. Basically, we had a big weekend of domestic boxing.
Yeah,
kicked off. It was in the Liverpool Olympia. It all kicked off. Headlining was obviously David Price against Tom Dallas. Price did it with a second round KO. It was an heavyweight fight. Your thoughts on the fight? I mean, because he looked really good.
I mean,
Price.
Price is that big and that strong, isn't he? Whoever he hits. It's like in the heavyweight game. If you get it clean in that job, you're going, aren't you? And Tom Dallas was moving to his left all the time, wasn't he? And you could see that in the first round. I mean, Price, he was just touching him with the jab and Tom Dallas was moving to his left. So he kind of knew what he was going to do. Mm. He was going to throw that big right hand over the top. And lo and behold, he did. And it was an absolute picture-perfect punch, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they sparred a lot of rounds together, aren't they? So they know each other inside out. And you know, he must have knew he was open to that right hand.
You find a lot of these lads move to the left all the time. Mm. If they're moving to the left, it's obviously they're going to walk right onto a right hand.
Yeah.
And he just executed it perfect, didn't he?
It was a late replacement, Dallas, so you've got to give him your
fair play. Yeah, you've got to take that off him. I mean, when these kids take late replacements, all right, you do take it off to him, but you think, why? Because
he obviously thought he could do it, didn't he? Yeah, he must have seen something sparring.
He took a late replacement and now he's lost, you know.
Definitely.
And
he deserves a lot of credit for that,
He deserves tons of credit for it.
But he's on the line. And
now he's not got it. And mind you, to be honest, you know, with this undefeated stuff, sometimes it can be a bit of a bug to bear, same with Brian, it was.
Yeah.
When Brian, I mean, I would have rather Brian got beat a little bit less than getting knocked back out, right? But now there's something less to worry about, you know, this undefeated record, you know.
Pressure goes off.
Then, could be the same for Dallas.
He can get cracking on. Now he's not got to think to himself, oh, I've got an undefeated record, I've got to keep this going.
Yeah.
And it'll show his true metal now, how he comes back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how would you fancy, because just looking at Price and, you know, the domestic heavyweights and stuff like that, you know, in future fights, he's going to be looking at Tyson Fury, Chisora, that kind of stuff. We were speaking just a little bit earlier, they've met before, Price and Fury, you know. Price took that one. How do you feel if it was to happen now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got that fight's going to happen, and then that's like the eliminator, final eliminator. Yeah, it's going to be. He's a big lump of a guy, isn't he? David Pravin, whoever he gets, he's going
to. It's kind of warming up a bit, the heavyweight scene, isn't it? In England. It kind of went quiet for a bit, didn't it? And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got Tyson Fury, you've got obviously still John McDermott, you've got Derek Chisora, you've got David Price, and still you've got Tom Dallas. Tom Dallas is still in the mix, even though he's been beat. So you've got a good set of lads there, but all bringing their own stuff to the table. You know, they're all kind of up there knocking on the door. So these big times ahead, you know what I mean? Someone who wants to get older and do an M Super 6, the heavyweights, Justin Britton. I mean, can you imagine that night, the prize fighting and put that lot in it?
Great, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's some good fighters. It's good that they're willing to fight each other as well.
The good old days of the heavyweight division. I think the luxury of just picking your own opponents has gone now. Mm. I think boxing in Britain's changed so much over the last 12, 18 months, you know what I mean? You know, you've got promoters now that are matching the lads against each other, their own lads. You know, we've mentioned it before, haven't we? There's only Sky TV now that are showing it, so Sky are the paymasters, and Sky are no longer having anything, you know, they're not having the promoters saying, oh, put that on. They've got a lot of input now, Sky, of what fights they want to see. I mean, same as like with Brian Rose the other week when he defended his English title, they didn't show Brian's fight, you know, and Brian was defending his English title, obviously looking forward to getting to a British shot, and they didn't show it. You know, they showed Tom Dallas and obviously Sam Webb. So it shows you that they are picking and choosing. losing, you know what I mean? They're not just having it. They won't have what the promoters are just giving them now, like they used to do in the old days.
Yeah. Why don't they, you know, because I think we've mentioned this before, you know, you get the fights like Brian's and stuff like that. Why don't they make a little programme where they could put it on in the week on a Wednesday night and you could just, you know what I mean? Yeah.
The old Fight Night was a great series on Tuesday night, so you used to see the up and coming fighters all the time. And I mean, Saturday was for the big fights, wasn't it?
That's why we were so lucky when with the M Channel. Yeah, you know, M Channel was like a breath of fresh air for us. You know, they really, really used to go to all the little local shows and you see all these kids coming through. It was fantastic, you know what I mean? And then obviously, you know, with the recession, you know, M Channel's had to close down. And Mike Bradley was doing an absolute fantastic job, you know, of bringing it all to the fore. He was doing gym visits and the general public was getting to see the up-and-coming boxers, you know, whereas now they're only getting to see them if, you know, if they get a chance on Sky TV. You know, that's the problem now. I mean, you know, there's that many good kids out there. They can't all get on Sky TV.
Yeah. I mean, we were just saying there, you've obviously got Brian, you've got Carl Place, who you fought the other night again. You know, we'll talk about Carl's win now. He was, you know, he's a local lad, takes him to 14-0, fought a guy called Michael Grant.
And it was a good fight.
Evenly matched,
On paper, it was going to be a good fight. And for the first time, I didn't get to see it, but I spoke to Steve Maitland, and he was telling me that Carl boxed really, really well.
Yeah.
You know, and he won the fight quite convincingly, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there again, you know, you look at the local gyms that in the northwest, you know, let's include Liverpool, obviously we've got to, and there's so many good kids out here that are not getting any chances of getting on television, you know, and it's hard because it's not helping boxing.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, you're getting kids there who've got 15, 16 fights, have not been on telly yet, or who've certainly not been on telly live, you know what I mean? Yeah. You might get the odd little sort of clips here and there. I think they need to get a programme together again, you know what I mean? Just bang it on in a week on a Wednesday night for an hour.
Brilliant, wouldn't it? I mean, I don't know, but I mean, you guys know better than me. I mean, you lads work so hard, you know, Chris here and you, Barks. If you could do something with the internet, maybe, you know, like film it and get it on the internet. I think Mike Bradley tried that. Steve's got his own, hasn't he, VIP TV. Yeah. If you could work it, if we could do something just to get it out there and get it shown.
Yeah. I think, I remember speaking to Steve last time on, I think there was some sort of, you've got to have licences and you can't. I think Steve was saying he's got to wait a year before he can show. By that time, no one's interested in what Carl Place done 12 months ago, you know what I mean? It's moved on. No. So, you know, but hopefully they'll be able to get it sorted out. But moving, you know, back to the night, moving on. Again, we had on the undercard British flyweight title fight. Great fight, Chris Edwards against Paul Edwards. I know you were saying, Bobby, that Chris has been out of your gym quite a bit, so you've seen a lot of him.
He's sparred hundreds of hours with Kieran Farrell, you know, and he's very tough-ish and very durable and very game, you know. Yeah. I felt for Eddie afterwards, you know, Paul Edwards. He was absolutely, he said it,
devastated,
didn't he?
He went,
I'm absolutely devastated, you know what I mean? And then again, you know, you've got Paul Edwards now, he's going to come back, and I've no doubt about Paul Edwards coming back.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And, you know, he's a tough, strong-willed kid, you know, and it's just a pity that in them kind of fights somebody has to lose, isn't it?
It was the experience in the end, wasn't it?
He got beat on points, Paul Edwards.
He's been there before, hasn't he, Chris? He's dug in there and ungun in there. Yeah. I mean, you got to remember about Chris Edwards, he was going absolutely nowhere, was he?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And no disrespect to Chris, he's a lovely kid, and his record was terrible at first. You know, he was looking like in the mode of turning into a journeyman.
Yeah.
No disrespect to journeyman. And then all of a sudden, he got a new lease of life, and then up there he's winning the titles and stuff like that.
Right, turnaround on that.
Yeah, and then he gets beat, and then he comes back again and wins it again. Yeah. You know? So it just shows you what he's made of, doesn't it? He's a tough game kid.
Especially at his age as well, but I think that's. He worked the fight perfectly, like, because he knew, he said it even in the interview, you know, Paul was going to come out.
Mm. Always got to mention this age thing, haven't you, Bart?
Racing
makes
out.
Makes me a bit paranoid, you know what I mean?
Racing out the trap straight away, and he said, like, you know, with the experience and stuff like that, he knew, you know, wait till the middle rounds and that, and then start putting it on then.
He'll learn from it, Paul Edwards. And,
See, you're going from six rounds where there's not really a game plan. You know, you've got a game plan, obviously, but there's nothing you can kind of get your teeth into, you know what I mean?
But you can afford to go out of the traps, can't you? Because you know it's
4-6 rounds done. Yeah. Then you start moving up to them 8s, 10s, and 12s, then you've got to think, right? And what people don't understand, the longer the rounds, the better the opponent. So, you know, you can go in and belt holes out of a kid for 1, 2, 3 rounds and he's just going to go, so what? You know, when he'll stand there and belt you back, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's the difference with the longer rounds. The longer rounds is always because he's better opponents, you know.
That was the case as well, didn't he? Paul Edwards started off quite fast, really.
Coming
to it later on, Chris. So.
You know, but, you know, he'll come again, Paul. He's... he's got loads of time. He's only young, isn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's an 8 fight novice anyway, isn't he?
But yeah, you know, fighting for the title, you know, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So anyway, and the last fight from that night, from down at the Olympia anyway, was Derry Matthews. He beat George Watson with KO first round, lightweight fight. Looking good again, Derry, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
He's seen it. Watson, he's Carl Johansson, and then he fought Carl. I give Carl a good fight, Carl Place, and I mean, certainly didn't expect a first round knockout of Derry, but he's turned his career around as
he's got with Oliver now, and Oliver can do that with people. You know, Oliver's a real good coach and knows what he's doing, Oliver Addison, and it shows you that by the way he's turned Derry's career around again. You know, it was all at one point you didn't think he was going to fight again Derry, he was like almost over, wasn't it? You know, and then it goes to Oliver's, gets a new lease of life, and it's fantastic the job Oliver's done with him. Like, it's a credit to Oliver Addison, you know.
Good trainer, Oliver.
Chris, you was at some boxing as well on Saturday night.
Yeah, I went down to Brighton. There was a show on there at the Metropole that Scott Welsh was putting on. It was Chris Eubank Jr.'s last amateur fight before he turns pro. It was a good, really good show. It was a pro-am show, so they had the amateurs on first. Really good cracking fights. Comedian, and then the pro fights come on.
What's it like, pro? I mean, I've never been to one. What's it like? Is it good? Is it okay?
I've been to one ages ago. It wasn't, but this one was really
done well.
It was done really well. Well organised. A fella called Glenn who was doing it with Scott.
Yeah.
Obviously had the Eubanks down there, behind Julius Francis, and
so it was all there.
Yeah, it was a really good atmosphere and really, really good show. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
What's he look like then, Chris Eubank Jr.? Does he?
Yeah, he looks good.
He can make waves.
It was a rematch he had with a lad called, I think it's De Castro. De Castro had knocked him down in the last fight in the first round.
Yeah.
This fight though, he looked really good, fast, quick, counter punching, and Eubanks. So,
well, no, how is it going to work? That because part, you know, fathers and sons in boxing, it's murder.
He's got a lot to live up to, hasn't he?
Yeah, of course he has. You know, it's and you get fathers who get involved, and sometimes dads get over involved. You know what I mean? Yeah. As we all know, you know what I mean. And now you've got Chris Eubanks, who was a world champion and a great fighter. I mean, the kid's not going to get arrested, is he?
He's not.
Because he does like the sign and sound of his own voice, Chris, doesn't he? You know what I mean? So he's going to go home and be living and breathing it, won't he? You know what I mean? He won't get a second. It won't be long before he moves out. You watch.
I know. Sorry,
I was looking his dapper self, Eubanks as well, inside, and gives us a cucumber and something. But yeah, he performed really well. He looks the part.
Was that a points win, yeah?
No, he stopped him.
Right.
Yeah, he was on him straight from the beginning, straight from the start. And yeah, he deserved the win, definitely.
Learned his lesson from last time, hadn't he? Jumped on him straight away.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, rather than take your time and getting put on the floor.
But yeah, most of the fights on the bill were good competitive fights, and like you're saying, you know, I think that's what these shows are needing.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, in this day and age now, there's not a lot of money about, you have to give value for money.
Yeah.
You know, you do have to give value. I mean, even us, you know, with Steve Woods, who puts these shows on, and he needs a medal for what he does, Woodsy, you know what I mean? He keeps banging away and putting these shows on. And we can see it in our ticket sales. We see it right from the word go, you know, where you've had a kid who's doing 150 tickets. Now, he's only doing 80 tickets, you know what I mean? And it's becoming harder and harder to sell the tickets, you know what I mean? And Steve's trying all kinds of different things now. You know, if you're going to box on a Steve's show, you've got a guarantee to sell 80 tickets now.
I will.
That's how it works out, you know.
That's what we were saying last time, on him, when you come in, they don't look at, are you a decent fighter? They look at how many tickets can you sell.
It's all about one thing, isn't it? Now it's all about asses on seat.
Yeah.
We say that's all.
On that night as well, Scott Welsh got awarded the WBC title. It was as an honorary type belt. On the night as well, he's trying to bring professional boxing back there, you know, from the sort of days when himself and Eubanks and Michael Aldis and them were, but they've not had professional boxing there for, I think, like 15 years now. This is the first one for a long time.
Sweet.
I had a terrible time in Brighton, mate.
Go on.
I went up against a kid called Dennis O'Brien. And just got smashed up.
Got
hammered.
Did you?
Got good memories of it.
And you know what? It's a long train journey home, that, especially when you get to Euston Station and you've missed your train. In them days, they dropped me off at Euston Station outside, and the train had been gone about half an hour. And I was sat, the police come and clear everybody out of Euston Station. I don't know whether they still do, but they did then. And I had like a few quid, not a lot, in my bag, and I'd lumps and bumps all over my face. And this police officer took pity on me, you know. I said, and I didn't know about booking in hotels and all that. I didn't have a clue, you know what I mean? First time in London. And I told him I'd been boxing, like, and obviously I've got to wait till 6 o'clock the next morning to get my train and all that. So he took pity on me and took me down into the canteen, into the railway workers' canteen, you know what I mean? It was probably the longest night in my life because my head was sore, things was appearing on my face, and it was, days. Oh, it was a terrible time, you know what I mean? I thought, I'm never coming back here again.
So when Brighton's mentioned, you get a flashback.
Yeah, it was at a place called Westcliff Pavilion, Brighton-on-Sea, I think it's called, isn't it? Terrible. Sends shivers up my spine just thinking about it.
Right, I think we better move on then. But is he looking at doing them again, Scott? Is it looking at?
Yeah, he's got another one coming up. I think it's the end of June. I'll confirm it on the site. We're hoping to get the fights put up from this weekend, Chris's fight. I'm waiting for the footage to come through for that, so I'll put it up on the British Boxers site this week, hopefully, if we can.
Brilliant.
But yeah, he's got another one coming up. I think it's going to be at the Brighton and Hove football ground, the next one. If this one's anything to go by, yeah, it looks like it's going to be successful again, the professional boxing down there. So.
Brilliant.
Excellent. So they can check out your website for that, can't they? Britishboxers.net.
.co.uk.
Oh, sorry, .co.uk, yeah, that was it. Okay, right, moving on then. We're going to talk to Jim McDonnell in a few minutes. Obviously, a trainer to James DeGale. Before we do that, though, we've got 5 games of Fight Night to give away. And all I want to know is, who does David A fight on July the 2nd in Germany? Basically, we're just going to pick 5 from the app. So if you get your emails in to info@maineventboxingshow.co.uk, and if you fancy a free game of Fight Night for the Xbox, that's all you have to do. The question again, who does David A fight on July the 2nd in Germany? Okay, this is the main event. We're going to take a quick break, and we're back on the phone with Jim McDonnell.
Pound for pound, the best in the world.
Proud to present
from Manchester, this is the main event.
Yes, this is the main event, All of Fem 96.9. We're joined on the phone now with our trainer to super middleweight boxing and Olympic gold medalist James DeGale. It's Jim McDonnell. Hello, Jim.
Hello, mate. How you doing? You all right?
Great, mate. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
Nice one. I know you're busy. We're going to jump straight into it, Jim. You know, obviously, you've been involved in a massive fight domestically. A couple of weeks back, you know, James DeGale against George Groves. Obviously, from your point of view, it didn't go to plan. Can you tell us what went wrong in the fight?
Yeah, listen, the fight's done and dusted. Looking at the fight from our point of view, obviously, we thought we'd won the contest, but listen, what's done's done. What James got to do now is move onwards and upwards, and that's exactly what he's going to do. Looking at the fight, obviously, looking at how everyone come to their scorecards and everything else, there's a bit, you know, 75%, 80% of people I talk to think that James DeGale won the fight, but James is in the gym, he's back in training, he's a very positive person, he's not looking back, he's looking forward, he knows where he's going to be, he knows he's going to be a world champion somewhere along the line in his boxing career, and he'll look back on that as just an experience on the journey.
Okay, great, fair enough. I mean, you was big favourites to win the fight, and as you said there, I actually had James winning the fight myself. During the build-up though, Jim, you know, to the fight, obviously a lot of people kind of reckon James was a little bit disrespectful to Groves along the way. Do you think that played a part in the downfall in the fight? Did he get too wrapped up in all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, listen, people can be very, you get a good guy, a bad guy at the pantomime, and they boo the bad guy and they cheer the good guy. So I think leading into the fight, that was the general consensus that people created. But I mean, James really never said nothing at all, which was in any way, shape or form disrespectful to Groves. It was a big bill, and more people got to realise in boxing, professional boxing, it's a business. You know, if James DeGale weren't on the bill, there wouldn't have been 21,000 people there. You know, the people come to watch James DeGale. The people didn't come to watch, no disrespect, they didn't come to watch anyone else on the card. You know, James is you know, the star in the making, and you know, out of it, you know, George Groves weren't the best person of his career, but you know, looking at it, the general perception of the crowd, I'd agree with it. I think it definitely affected the judgment of the judges, because I think if they had earphones on their head, then they'd have seen the fight the way most people just see it. But you know, they go with the roar of the crowd, they go with what's happening, and but looking at what you just said, then maybe that did have a negative effect on the actual outcome in terms of James getting the result that I personally believe he deserved to get, but didn't. So good luck to Mr. Groves and good luck to him in his future.
Hi Jim, it's Bobby Rimmer. Jim, I'm just wondering, you know, this, you know, when you have a kid and he's got an unbeaten record and then he loses that, do you think it can be better that he's actually lost his unbeaten record, or is it worse, you know?
Yeah, you know what, Bob? Nice speech, by the way, mate.
Yeah, nice speech to you, Jim, again.
I had a zero record on my record for many, many years as a professional fighter, and I never lost my zero to the boxer of the Championship of the World. In fact, I never lost a round of boxing to the boxer of the Championship of the World.
Yeah.
I was going to every fight not wanting to lose a round. But you know what? When I lost my zero, I was more gutted about losing my zero than losing to the world title.
Yeah.
So I think what you said there is such a valid point. And out of something comes something. Yeah. Out of the dark comes the light. Out of the day comes the night. And I think the positive about that is James hasn't got that pressure. You've seen it with Calzacchi for years.
Yeah.
Now, Calzacchi's walked away from boxing probably £20 million short of what he would have done.
Yeah.
Because if they took other fights, it weren't for the zero.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so I think that's a real valid point. I think you can see in James's next fight, I think you're going to see the best performance of his career, definitely, because there's a lot of pressure off him now, really.
Yeah, and I think
that's the greatest point I've heard, and really relevant and really positive to what I've been saying to James as well. So yeah, on that one, I think you're 100% right.
Okay.
Hi Jim, it's Chris from BritishBoxers.co.uk. Nice to speak to you.
Hi Chris.
Yeah, hi mate. Do you think that a rematch can be made, and would you approach it differently than you did this fight?
Yeah, every fight is different. James in the gym right now is training right in front of me as we're talking. You know what, the positivity that's come out of the result of the contest, well, I'm not going to say defeat, but the result of the contest, is that James has bounced back already, like mentally. He's like looked at the fight on telly, we've sat down with licensed referees and scored it, and they've got their opinions, and everyone's got their opinion. But basically, what James is going to do now is come out of this. I mean, I'm watching him now in front of Michelle about him, and already right now he's so positive. And I think, like, what Mr. Rimmer just said to me about not having the O on him takes the pressure off, you know. So what a point of view now for James is to be constructive, to be positive. And he's a mentally very strong kid, very, very strong kid. And I'm going to make a prediction now. I think his next fight, whoever it's against, I haven't got a clue who that's going to be against, but I know it's going to be the best performance of his career. Because I can just see the freedom in him right now as an individual. And he can't wait to get back in there. He really can't. And I just think, like, he's learned so much from that one loss than probably he's had another 10 victories. He's looked at it. You know, you can't fight that. You can't fight the nation. You can't fight the public. I think public perception has a lot to do with the actual outcome of that fight result. Looking at the scorecards, I think I'd like to think judges wear earphones as well, because I think you can get misguided by it when people are cheering and that. But you know, there's a lot of things in it. But we've took more positives out of the fight than negatives. And you know, and I think George is going to learn from the fight as well. I think George can go on from that. You know, he's a good fighter in his own right, and I think he can go on from that and develop into a top-class fighter. Mm. And maybe one day they'll do it again.
Yeah, of course.
Do you reckon James will be able to put this fight behind him, Jim? Because it's a fight that, you know, it's one that he wanted for years. His history between them. Will he definitely be able to put this behind him and you know, forget it and get on with the next fight?
Yeah, I think the best way to say that, he's already done that in life. You know, he lost to George Groves on a very, very controversial decision in the ABAs, and he went on to win the Olympic gold medal. And I've already said it publicly at a press conference that, you know, he's lost the decision to Groves, and he'll go on to be world champion. And he's already put it behind him. He's standing in front of me right now. He's in the gym. He's training. He's working on. He can't wait to get out there again. But I think in answer to that question, I think he's actually already done it, and he really has. He's been absolutely fantastic. He's accepted it. He doesn't agree with the verdict, but he's accepted it, and you know, he's ready to move onwards, upwards, and go on to conquer the world, which I know he will do.
Okay, great. I mean, when do you reckon he's likely to be out again next? Are you looking at getting him out straight away, or do you want to take a bit of time off over the summer?
Yeah, well, you know, Frank was talking about him going in July, but obviously he had a very hard camp. He got a nick on the eye, so we're going to take the right route, and hopefully Frank's talking about him being out by September. So that's when he's in the gym right now working. So September looks like the date.
People actually forget, Jim, that we need a rest as well, don't they?
You know what? You ain't wrong. Someone said to me about the fight about it being. I said, you know what? You need a bit of me time. Because when you're training for fighters, you know yourself.
Like,
I never thought it'd be the same as being a trainer as a fighter. Bloody hell, it's just as intense, if not worse.
It's terrible, isn't it, Jim? You know what I mean? And everybody wants a piece of us, don't they, mate?
It's so, so true. You give up absolutely everything. You start with running in the morning early, we're in the gym, then in the gym again in the evenings. It's like,
yeah.
And you said after the fight, it's just such a relief. Yeah. Have a bit of me time, isn't it?
It's yeah.
Jim, what other fighters have you got coming through? You know, who are you working with?
Right now, you've got Kevin Mitchell in there training. You've got James DeGale. All good fighters, but yeah, I've got a good light middleweight, Steve O'Meara. I'm looking at hopefully if him being in the British title contention sometime in the next couple of fights, to be honest. Obviously, James Gale got another kick from Simon O'Donnell, who's a boxer chunky in the amateurs. They're both good fighters. There's a middleweight who can make big noises in the boxing game. So, yeah, so there's a few on the horizon. And obviously, James himself, I think, can be the best of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Just last question I've got for you. Did you say Kevin Mitchell's there now?
He was. He's still there. Yeah, I've seen him there now.
Okay. I've just got to ask you, because obviously he fights Manchester's John Murray soon. How's he looking and what kind of shape is he?
Yeah, Kevin's like, you know, obviously he wants to get back in there and get back to where he wants to get to. I've just watched him train, and he looks very, very good. He looks really focused, and he looks very sharp.
Last question I've got, then. In your opinion, who wins the fight?
Well, between Kevin Mitchell and John Murray?
Yeah.
Obviously, I haven't had the perception of watching John Murray train, but watching Kevin train, and I watched John Murray's last fight, and I know you can't go by probably Mitchell's one of his worst of performances, but if you take the best of Mitchell against the best of Murray, then I'd go for Mitchell.
Okay, fair enough.
But having said that, let me say one thing. It's all about who can handle it on the night, and John's a very, very good fighter. He's very intelligent, very switched on. It's a real 50-50. Two good fighters right at the top of their game. Good for boxing, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see, it's one of them ones. It's very hard to call. But like on the spot, slightly favoured Mitchell on the experience. He's had some big fights already. That might handle the situation a little bit better.
Well, Jim, thanks for joining us today, mate. It's been brilliant, Jim, talking to you. And you know, next time you're out, but I hopefully speak to you again.
Top man, before mate, the flight.
It. Cheers, Jim.
Cheers, pal.
Okay, that was Jim McDonnell. You know, obviously the trainer too. I think you know they've been. It seems like, you know, they've got themselves together. They've trying to put that fight behind them now and stuff like that, and hopefully they can do, because like you say, James is a great talent.
There's only one or two things that can happen, isn't he? You can either go on to better things or just forget it, haven't you?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously he's going to go on to bigger and better things. The same, you know, it's exciting times, isn't it?
Yeah. Bit of an humbling now and again, you know, don't do anyone any harm, does it, as well?
No, you know, like I say, you know, when a kid gets beat, it you'll see his true metal of what he does when he comes back. You know, some kids don't recover, some do, you know. That this is boxing, you know. There's no in-betweens. It's either yes or no, and that's the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
And I think he's got a good team around him, obviously, and James De Gea will come back to bigger and better things. But there is, I mean, it's, you know, there is going to be a big fight along the line somewhere. When one of them's a champion and the other one becomes the mandatory, there you go again.
It's going to happen somewhere.
It's inevitable.
Along the line.
It's got to happen again. You know what I mean? And it's the trilogy, isn't it? You know what I mean? So
when you look at De Gea, he's one of the most talented fighters we've got.
Yeah,
you know, but it's,
I mean, De Gale's a real talented fighter, but for me he kind of lets himself down with the way he goes on about things and all that. You know, I'm not like, you know, I'm not up for that. You know, my lads are not like that. My lads don't say they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They just, you know, we just get in and do the job, and that's the end of it. You know what I mean? I think the more pressure you, and don't forget, he's only had 8 fights, hasn't he?
Yeah.
De Gale, was it 8?
A couple more, I think it was
11.
10
or something. And you've got to remember, he's a novice, and we forget he's a novice in the pro game, you know, but he's got there that fast. And
saying that though, he was evenly matched, wasn't there? Because Groves only had 12 minutes.
You know, Adam Booth that night and George Groves had it perfectly right, and there's nothing better for a trainer. There's nothing better for a trainer to make a game plan and for his boxer to stick to it. And it comes the right result at the end. He boxed perfectly that night, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think, Bob, then all the verbals before, I must to make Groves engage with him in the, he knew that was the way.
Listen, James De Gale fights one way. James De Gale gets under your skin, and then when someone's got under your skin, you can't help it, you're only human. When somebody attacks your ego and stuff like that, and we've all carried this ego around with us, you don't just want to box them, you want to beat the skull in, don't you? So you're not thinking straight, you're not keeping to your game plan and all that. So that's what's happened. But Groves, he had none of it. He had none of it. He kept to the game plan. He didn't get overwrought by any of it. And he was perfect. I mean, if you look at the build-up, James De Gale was in the ring shadow boxing at like 4 or 5 o'clock. George Groves watched him walk in the arena. He was yawning. Excuse me, he looked like he just woke up. So what does that tell you? Someone's in the ring shadow boxing in the actual ring they're going to fight in.
It seems to me it's pressure, isn't it? The pressure's got to him, isn't it?
Pressure, yeah.
Pressure's got to him. He's not thinking right, is he? He's not doing stuff that he'd normally do.
No. You think as well, they'd only had a handful of fights each, and how big the occasion.
And then they're elevated to this.
Do you think it would have been that big if without all the verbals anyway? Do you think it was
I don't know. James De Gale is kind of like on the same wavelength went to Prince Nazim, wasn't it? Mm. I mean, people used to pay, and Chris Eubanks, people used to pay money to watch them get beat. From a business point of view and a marketing point of view, it was an absolute dream. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, there were so many people that love to see people. You know, you get these kids that come along and they're outspoken and stuff like that, and there's a lot of people like to see them get beat. Like to shut them up, but it doesn't shut them up, does it? You know what I mean? They just come out even worse next time. So business, it was a great marketing job, and it was brilliant. You know what I mean? Adam Booth's good at marketing these fights,
aren't
they? I mean, when that when they said that David A was going to fight Audley Addison, I thought, shut up, what are you talking?
I know.
It never even entered me head. I thought, you've not got a chance. What happens? I'm there on the night in the box with Kerry, thinking that Audley Addison's going to pull some out of the bag.
Did you?
Oh, well, I feel like a right fool telling them, but I've got to tell somebody or I'll have to go for counselling. And I was there thinking, yeah, he might do something here, and dearie me, I mean, that was a great marketing thing, because it wasn't only me thought that when the fight was announced. Everybody went, sure, what are you talking about? Audley Addison.
I know, yeah.
It's David Ace.
There's a few, you'd be surprised, you know, well respected people as well, no journalists.
I'm not on my own, you know. I thought he might pull out of the bag here for Audley.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
No.
Did
he?
Soccer's been coming back, isn't he? He fighting Perez.
That mountain he keeps going on about, it's just a bit higher, that mountain to climb. He's never going to get to the top of that now.
No talk of Audley on the show. We'll move on, I think. What we'll do, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of boxing news and then some of the fights that's coming up at the weekend. Okay. Excellent. This is the main event. Like I say, if you want to get in contact, info@maineventboxingshow.co.uk. If you want to get in contact for the tickets, no, not the tickets, we're not doing them yet. The 5 games of the fight night to give away for the Xbox 360. All you need to do is email us with the answer to this question: who does David A fight on July the 2nd in Germany? Get them in at info@maineventboxingshow.co.uk.
Present from Manchester, England. This is the main event.
Yeah, this is the main event on All of Fed 96.9. Joined in studio with Chris Maylett from BritishBoxers.co.uk. Obviously, Bobby Rimmer as well. We're going to talk a little bit boxing news now, lads. You know, obviously, Mayweather has made a big announcement that he's back. He's going to be fighting Victor Ortiz. People are saying now, you know, he's a southpaw. He's getting ready for the Pacquiao fight. How do you feel on the comeback, really? Because a lot of people are still disappointed that it's not the Pacquiao fight, do you know what I mean? What do you think on that, Chris?
Well, I think the Ortiz fight, you know, it'll be a good one against, he come back well against
Berto,
won the title against Berto. So you know, this will be a good fight.
Could
but
be
a
tough fight,
you know, it's looking that way as it is. The Pacquiao fight's got to happen.
Are you getting sick of it yet?
No. It's
a big build up.
There's something you must remember in boxing, that every day is a different day. I'm telling you, you know, you think things are not going to happen, then they happen. Yeah. You think things are going to happen, they don't happen. You can't really think too much into it anyway. You've just got to wait for it to happen. And it is the big fight out there. But I think, you know, the fight with Mayweather and Pacquiao, I think it's going to be a career-ending fight for somebody, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, Mayweather or Pacquiao, they're going to want a right dollop a dough, aren't they, for it? You know what I mean? Which it is.
That's why they're dragging it out.
That's why they're dragging it out, because, you know, you will stay up for that, won't you? You know what I mean? You will stay up for that. You will make sure that Sky, your bill's paid and everything. Do you want to watch that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's been out of the ring a long time, Mayweather, hasn't he? But in the other thing, he's never out of the gym. Lee Baird told us that when he boxed Rick, Lee went to meet Roger Mayweather on the Monday and he was back in the gym.
What, Monday after the fight?
Mayweather was back in the gym Monday after the fight. Right. Back in the gym training. So, you know, even though he's not been
yeah, he's still always
fighting,
super
he's
fit,
always in the gym, he's always training. Yeah. So if you look at it from the point of view that, right, okay, they want the Pacquiao fight, so we'll stay in the gym, we'll keep training, albeit not in full training,
yeah,
and we'll keep sparring with different people. And then, you know, they think, well, you've not been in the gym. It's not a bad ploy, is it? You know what I mean? It's not a bad, you know, they think, oh, he's going to be rusty and stuff like that. Floyd Mayweather is too technical to be rusty. And,
yeah,
you know, he'll be working and working hard. And like Chris just said, maybe because he's fighting a southpaw now, this Ortiz, maybe they're going to...
Is it a warm-up? Yeah.
It's getting closer now. It's getting closer, you know.
Yeah. It looks a tough warm as well, doesn't it? Considering his... after Medana, Ortiz kind of lost a bit of credibility. But to come back and beat Berto like that, it was a good one.
I mean, they're all tough at that level, aren't they?
It's not an easy one, is it? Then?
No,
really,
isn't
it? All his fights are like that, aren't they? Yeah. They're all big names now. And
it's good for boxing anyway, isn't it? Whenever you mention Mayweather, it's great for boxing. It gets people talking again anyway, do you know what I mean?
Straight away, when you say Mayweather and Pacquiao, you start thinking, right, where should I go to them? Should I have a party at our house? Watch it, or whatever should we do? Right away, it slips into your mind, that's going to be a great night, and it's not even mentioned yet.
I know. What am I doing in 2012?
Day for boxing fans when that one pops up. It's been assigned.
Brilliant. Okay, moving on again. Something I noticed the other day, obviously, is female boxing. I was just looking through Boxrec the other day, and you know, seeing Kalisha West is fighting at the weekend, and it just kind of popped into my mind. It was just something I wanted to ask you lads about. about female boxing, really, because it's something that I can't get used to. And I don't know how you guys feel on that topic, because
I can, you know, myself. I mean, no disrespect to women anyway. I mean, you know.
Did you ever watch Jane Couch?
Yeah, but he's never kind of interested me, you know.
No,
I mean,
same with me, and it's not from that caveman point of view. It's like, oh, they shouldn't be doing it.
I don't know what I don't know where it's from. It's just, you know, it's, I don't know.
I don't know nice much about it, but I've got no reservations about
nice
it anyway. I don't mind.
No. Yeah. You know, you see a girl and she's really nice looking, and you think, oh, she's nicer, and then all of a sudden you see her like an hour later and she looks like she's been run over. It's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just strange. I mean, you know, and you get blokes training women to fight. The women should be training the blokes to fight. You know, what's going on? You know, it just seems really, really strange. I mean, Amanda Coulson came, the girl who boxes amateur for England, she's very good, Amanda Coulson. She came to our gym, and I think there's only Brian in the gym, and she come to our gym. She was doing that, you know, where they find that face on Question of Sport.
Oh, right, yeah,
where
yeah.
They had the cyclist Chris
Boardman.
No, what's he called? Is it Chris Boardman? No, he had the cyclist and he had the body belt on, and she was punching him with the body belt on, and then it was like, you know, it was him, like, anyway. And she walked in, and they said, oh, this woman boxer's coming, Amanda Coulson. When she turned up, she just looked like a model.
Right.
And I thought, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't go and get in such a beautiful face, like,
I'll
beat up.
I know. What would you do, Bobby? You know, if someone going to come approach you, would you chain them? No,
I wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
I wouldn't be able to do it. No. You know, I've got daughters and stuff, and it'd be as bad as putting your own daughter in and getting fighting. It's just, I mean, look, there's a niche for it out there, great, you know, let them crack on with it, but I'm not getting involved.
Yeah. No, I think if they want to do it, then it's, you know, I think everyone should have the freedom to do it if they want to do it.
We live in a country where, you know, you can do what you want, can't you? So if it's up to them, do it, but I don't even think anything about it, really.
No,
I mean, everyone agrees, but there's plenty of people who do, you know, and so, each to their own if they want to do it.
Fair enough. Okay, what we're going to do then, lads, we're going to move on to the last segment of the show today. The fights that are coming up this weekend, really. We've got a big night at Robin Park Arena, you know, a lot of local lads on. Topping the bill there, you've got Martin Murray and Nick Blackwell. They are clashing their British middleweight title fight. A lot's been said about Martin Murray, you know, it's probably his time now, isn't it, to prove what he's about.
Yeah, looking forward to that one, it'd be a good fight. He's done well, he's a young lad, Blackwell.
Exactly.
He won the English title, didn't
he? What's he like, Blackwell? I don't know much about him.
I've not seen much of him, but he looks quite good. He's on Ricky Hatton now, isn't he? With Hatton Promotions,
Martin Murray's with the Hatton.
He looks the part, yeah.
Yeah, it's an Hatton Promotions night, like.
Well, that'd be a good, good fight, that. And obviously he's unproven, Blackwell's, you know, like that.
Tough Martin can bang as well. Yeah. Martin sparred a lot of rounds with Jack and Brian, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think Jack will mind me saying it, but Martin had him over a couple of times, one time sparring down there at Oliver's, and
taught
Jack a lot of good lessons, you know what I mean?
No, it'd be good, there was talks of him and Macklin as well, you know.
That's gone
different directions now, but a little bit ago. Yeah. Also on the night as well, we've got Andy Crawler. He takes on Osumano Akaba from Ghana for the vacant WBA Intercontinental Lightweight title. You know, it'll be a tough fight for Crawler, this one, because it's late replacement.
Well, these Ghanaians as well, you know, you don't really know what you're getting, do you?
Yeah.
There's never any footage on him.
It's tough as well.
You can never watch, and they're always tough. They're always tough, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they was born tough, weren't they? You know what I mean? So, you know, you never know what you're going to get with him, do you?
Yeah.
They're following Azuma Nelson, you know, if he's anything to go by, you know, you're always in for an hard fight against the guy.
And they all seem to be from Accra, don't they?
Yeah.
These boxing rings on the corners round there, didn't they? That's all they do, boxing, isn't it? You know what I mean?
I fully expect Anthony to take care of business on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Also, you got Joe Murray as well. He meets George Kadlatcha for the vacant WBA Intercontinental Featherweight title. Mm. His first title fight is Joe.
It's time for Joe to get a bit of recognition now, isn't it? You know, he's kind of the same as like it was with Matthew and Ricky. Matthew was in Ricky's shadow for a long time, and Matthew's a good fighter in his own right, you know, and Joe's coming behind John now, you know what I mean? So it's time that Joe got a little bit of recognition, and you know, because he is, you know, after all, he's an Olympian, and you know, he is undefeated, and he's cracking on there, and he's moving along. He's just kind of not getting it yet, is he?
No.
This might be what gives him the breakthrough that he
needs. Hopefully, because he's an exciting fighter as well, Joe.
Solid professional, and he does his job, and you don't hear anything bad about him. He just gets on with his job, doesn't he?
He's fit as a fiddle as well.
Yeah,
Yeah, but maybe it's been a bit of a blessing, you know, but slipping under that radar a bit. He's, you know, learning the trade on the undercard and not having that, you know, publicity. I think it's time definitely for him to move on to the next level now, Joe.
Definitely. You know, if you want to get down there, it is local lads on the bill. So if you fancy getting down there, just check out hattonboxing.com and you'll, you know, you'll get some details. It's good to go out, you know, if you've never been to a boxing fight, you know, get down there, you'll enjoy it. Also on Saturday night as well, from York Hall, Bethnal Green, we've got Spencer Fair and Summer Showdown. Always a good show when Spencer's in town. Yeah, he's got Choi, lively, definitely. He's got Choi on the bill. He meets Jackson Asiku for the WBU featherweight title. Got Darren Hamilton, he takes on Dave Ryan, and you've also got Steve O'Meara and Alex Del Magana, they're also on the bill. There's 8 fights in total, and you know, they're always, from what I've heard, I've not been to one yet, but from what I've heard, they're always a great night. We have got 2 tickets as well to give away for that event this Saturday. You'll have to get your answers in by this Wednesday though. And the question I've got for that, if you fancy getting yourself 2 tickets for that night, what weight did Spencer Fearon fight at? Get in contact, info@maineventboxingshow.co.uk. Like I say, get your emails in by Wednesday. This is for the podcast listeners as well. And I'll get back to you by Wednesday afternoon. And the last fight we've got then, lads, for this weekend was Ryan Rhodes against Saul Alvarez. Big fight, going to be a tough one, you know what I mean? I've got the fighting for the WBC light middleweight title, but I do fancy Rhodes in this fight myself. And I'm going against the grain, you know what I mean?
But, well, listen, you know, Ryan Rhodes is very, very experienced. And he shows that he can fight, and he's tough, and he's game. You know, he is going into the lion's den. You know, he's going to Mexico, and he's fighting the new Mexican legend. You know,
altitude,
the heat. It's all different. You know, you remember when McGuigan went to over to Mexico, didn't he, and fought
Cruz,
maybe 110 degrees, and that was Barry's downfall. Do you know what I mean? Them kids have been digging holes in the Andes since he was born. Do you know what I mean?
I know. And he's a tough kid, though. You were speaking to
Matthew.
Yeah,
I was talking to Matthew about him over the weekend, and Matthew was telling us, and some of the lads who was with Matthew Watton was telling us that when they went to the fight in Anaheim with Matthew and Alvarez. That one of the lads was just sat at the side of the ring, and there was about 3 Mexicans looking across the ring just staring him out. He said he didn't know what to do with himself, do you know what I mean?
So, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do? I mean, and so what's it going to be like actually in Mexico? Do you know?
Going to be hostile.
Intimidation.
Hostile's not going to be the word.
Yeah.
You best getting in there just for the fight, and as soon just if stand up, walk to the back of that auditorium if Ryan Rhodes is winning, because when that last bell or the hands gets raised, you've got to make an exit stage left, or put one of them big hats what we used to have to wear in the ring with Gomez, and a stick on Tash and pretend you're a Mexican.
I was on the phone today. Yeah, I was speaking to Dave on the phone the other day in Mexico. Dave Caldwell, we spoke about the fight. He was saying Alvarez is massive over there. He's, you know, he's as big as David Beckham's every billboard TV program, you know. But having said that, some of the Mexican lads, the boxers in the gym, were saying they don't think he's been tested, Alvarez, yet. And they were impressed with what they'd seen of Rhodes, and they were, you know, looking forward to the fight in that sense that he's going to get a good test.
But the Mexicans who said that didn't leave the name.
There's no quote.
Undercover.
You know, like, I mean, you said you give Rhodes a good chance.
I give Rhodes, I mean, he's got it all against him.
He's got it all to do, but I'll tell you what, he can do it.
Yeah.
Pull it out of the bag, you know what I mean? He's tough and he's game, and this is his shot.
Yeah.
This is it, you know, this is his shot.
Exactly,
this is,
yeah.
This is what'll elevate kind of thing, him, this will elevate him, you know what I mean? And he showed his tough against Mosey, didn't he? You know, when he boxed Jamie.
He was a seasoned pro now. He's still thinking he was the Spice Boy and all that.
Of course, you remember when he was one of the Spice Boys, you know what I mean? He's been doing his job a long time, hasn't he? He knows what he's doing.
Exactly, yeah.
It's now or never.
The toughness he's shown against Moore and in his last fight, his boxing skills he's got, you know, he can box, he can mix it, and he's going to give Alvarez a tough test either way, you know.
It's going to be a great fight, looking forward to it. Really, but you know, that's on Saturday night, Sunday morning, so I'll definitely be staying up for that one. Also on the bill as well, we've got Adrian Barona against Jason Litzau. Right, lads, it's the end of the show. It's been a great show again today.
Thanks, Bobby, you're back next week. Chris,
great having you down.
I'm sure you'll be back in the future.
We're back next week, obviously, Bobby. We've got some various other guests. I'll let you know on the Facebook and that kind of stuff, and on the website. Check out the website, www.maineventboxingshow.co.uk. And don't forget, you can join us on the Facebook, which is facebook.com/maineventboxingshow.